Merry Christmas. I hope that each of y'all has had a wonderful Christmas week and that you were able to spend some time with loved ones. I heard a few of your holiday stories already this morning, and I hope to hear many more of your Christmas memories in the future. But now, if I were to tell you about my holiday week, I might focus on the wonderful friends I got to spend time with, some of which I haven't seen in a while. Or I might focus on being able to spend time with my family, my mom, dad, sister, brother, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, cousins. I could tell you about the wonderful gifts I received, the delicious food I ate, the movies I watched. But come on, let's face it. I'd likely tell you the version of the story that centers on my 2-year-old nephew, Jensen. If I told one of you at one time about your week, I might tell of the joy on Jensen's face when I saw him for the first time this week. If I told someone else the story, I might tell of his tendency to cock his head and say, "Huh?" every time I say something silly, which, if y'all know me, it's a lot. I might tell of the time he ran and threw his arms around my dog, kissing her on the nose. I might tell you of his perfect recounting of the sound a fire truck makes. Or I could tell you about his excitement upon seeing a gorilla family close up and personal at the zoo the day after Christmas. It was the same week, seen through the same eyes, mine, right? And centered on the same child. But it would be a little bit different story each time. Many of you may have realized at this point that my point is not to share my holiday memories, even though I just did, but to form an analogy. One of our primary roles as Christians is to share stories. The Gospels are some of the original stories told of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. But none of them tell the story exactly the same way. Some of the Gospels link their stories to prophecy. Others recount important events. Some tie events and ideas into symbols. Others organize into sermons. It is a story. In fact, it is the story of our faith. But it's told differently each time. And as Christians, we really value this. It means we have several different perspectives and versions, and we often find that we learn more by comparing the stories than we would learn by reading a single story alone. Throughout the season of Advent, we, as First Baptist Pendleton, have told the stories of Jesus' birth in numerous different ways. We've sung carols, we've read scripture, we've listened to Jennifer's wonderful sermons. We've lit candles, we've read responsively, we've prayed together, we've experienced anthems led by our choir and other special music. And that was only during Sunday worship. Outside of worship, we've told these stories in acts of kindness, in times of fellowship, in our Christmas cards, in caroling, in listening to our children's Christmas program, and in so many other ways. In our Advent and Christmas celebration, we've told the story, and we've told it well in multiple ways. Today's theme, though, is good news, which, as many of y'all know, is the literal meaning of the term gospel. In the Christian faith, the good news is the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and it's also the story of Jesus' birth. In Luke 2, which we heard Linus read earlier, the announcement by the angel of Jesus' birth to the shepherds is shared as good news of great joy for all people. Today, we are focusing on that good news, but we're focusing in on it presented a little bit differently in the first chapter of John. Diana read this passage earlier in the service, and I wanted us to hear it just one more time. Here is the good news of Jesus' birth from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is a different kind of birth story, a different kind of good news. It reads more like Greek philosophy than story, right? There's no angels, there's no shepherds, there's no wise men, there's no Mary and Joseph at the manger. And sometimes it's easier to tell the story of the birth of baby Jesus with angels and shepherds and wise men. But what good news! The Word that has been there since the beginning and is God has become flesh and lived among us. And not only this, but this same Word has brought life and light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In becoming flesh and living among us, God chose to experience the weakness, confusion, pain, suffering, and loss that human beings are subject to. At the same time, he experienced love, joy, and all the beautiful parts of life. It wasn't just God taking on a human form. He was fully human as well as fully God. In the life and the person of Jesus, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This passage always reminds me of one of my favorite Christmas carols, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, which we sang earlier in the service. My favorite part of that carol is that it does not ignore the darkness that we experience as humans. It says, "In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." But in the next verse, it goes on to state, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." The darkness sometimes seems so powerful and so overwhelming, but the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. As Christians, as I mentioned earlier several times in our sermon, our lives and callings are all about telling stories, telling our story, and telling how this ties into the biblical stories. As both individual Christians and as a church as a whole, the gospel is the story that we should be broadcasting. As St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." However, sometimes that telling that story is a little harder than we think. A recent study by the Pew Research Center asked young adults, adults of my generation and younger, to identify what adjectives they most associate with Christians. The result? 60% of young adults labeled Christians as judgmental. That was the number two adjective associated with Christians. 64% labeled churches as anti-gay. That was the number one adjective. So there's a huge disconnect here, right? We're trying to communicate a story of radical grace, of care and compassion, of a God of love who cared enough to become one of us. However, young adults in particular are hearing a different story, one that boils down to hatred and judgment. And they're leaving the church in droves because of it. Does the light shine in the darkness here? Has the darkness overcome it? So this week, I challenge you, tell the story differently. I know that this church is telling the good news because I know this church. I know that the story is told here, and I know it's told well. I know that the story is told repeatedly, not only through words, but through actions. And I know that each of you is taking this story and taking the story of the life and light of Jesus outside of these walls. But there's a lot of people in this community that don't know us. They know little more than that we worship in this building and that this building is labeled First Baptist Church of Pendleton. It's important, then, that we get to know them and share the good news with them. So this week, I challenge you, try telling the story in a different way. Make sure that this story, that it is clear this story is not just for the people within these walls. Make sure that it's clear that this story is about the love of God that breaks down all barriers. Consider asking a young person, or anyone you know, really, about their perception and experience with the church in the past. Do your best to listen and not become defensive. We can't control what younger generations and what other people outside these walls believe about us. And they might hear hatred and judgment no matter what we actually say and do. But we can control our words and actions, and we can try to understand and include them. And we can try to get to know them. We strive to make it known that the good news is about inclusive, radical love and not judgment and hatred. And may the light that comes from Christ shine in our community, and may the darkness not overcome it. Our carol of response today is hymn number 143, Go Tell It on the Mountain. As you sing, consider how you might tell the story this week. I will be up front if any of you would like to share your thoughts or ideas, and if any of you would like to respond by making a decision or a confession of faith.